This podcast is brought to you by Art Margins, the online journal of East and Central European contemporary art. Download more podcasts and read interviews, articles, and reviews at www.artmargins.com.
Hello, I'm Esther Sokacz. I work as a curator at the contemporary art organization and network Transit HU in Budapest. In this podcast, there will be three interviews with three curators working in Hungary about the recent changes within the cultural policy of the Hungarian government, and more specifically, how this affects curatorial work. During the interviews, we are going to touch upon the current state and framework of contemporary curating in Hungary, and we'll talk about both the disappearing and also the new curatorial roles and responsibilities, which are now seem to be emerging. Here we are today with Hajna Alkasomogyi, who is an independent curator based in Budapest. Previously, she worked as a curator at the Ludwig Museum, Museum of Contemporary Art. She is also a graduate of the Center for Curatorial Studies at Bard College, and previously she worked as the director of Truffaut Gallery at the Truffaut House of Contemporary Art, Budapest. And today we are going to talk with her about the recent changes in Hungary in terms of cultural policy and how all this affects curatorial work in Hungary and what a curator can do now in Budapest. So you started working as a curator at the Ludwig Museum in Budapest in 2009, just a year after former director Bencsi Barnabás was appointed the head of the Ludwig Museum, which is, besides Műcsarnok or Kunsthalle, the other large contemporary art institution in Hungary. With the appointment of Bencsi in 2008, one might say that a generation change was completed in terms of curating in Hungary, that curators who are now in their 30s or 40s and whose curatorial practice was formed after the political change of 89 had then worked in the biggest art institutions in Hungary. Bencsi put together a great team, you being one of them, and we can say that a new era began at the Ludwig Museum. Yet, after 2010, with the newly formed right-wing government, major changes were introduced in Hungary, which also included a new type of cultural policy. Probably the art and the cultural scene was one of the last fields where dramatic changes were introduced. And I think it's fair to say that within the cultural field, the really ideology-driven actions of the government have been hitting in since 2012. So I think we can say that it is still unsure how the Hungarian contemporary art scene as we know it today, or perhaps as we knew it till 2012, will respond and what the future holds. And how do you see, like in terms of the art institutional framework, what have been the biggest changes in the last couple of years, and how are these changes affect the work of a curator?
Thank you, Esther. It's actually quite hard to define what is the largest or, you know, the largest change, because there's an overall change in the ideology, what culture concern. There is a very radical turn toward nationalist values, at least, you know, on the level of, as like a part of the political ideology. But certainly this has affected many actual structural changes in the cultural sector. What seems very harsh is a newly formed public body that is called the Academy of Hungarian Art. And this used to be a group of artists, like a very private little group of friends, and it's led by conservative artists and thinkers and other creative people. What happened actually back in 2011 is that they became a public body without any changes in the system, how they operate or how they select the new members. And they were like the fact that they are a public body, and also their rights and responsibilities have been written into the new constitution that this new government created. And basically the rights and responsibilities of this newly formed public body, this academy, are equivalent to a shadow ministry. And first of all, it's really problematic how this private group could become a public body with such responsibility and power. And secondly, it's really hard to see right now what their actual activity can be. Because these people have not been active in terms of organizing culture, policy making, and the average age group, the average age is well around maybe 70 years. So, and I haven't seen them being very active beyond really aggressive nationalist statements by their leader against progressive culture. So this is certainly a quite large change, but we cannot see what the actual workings are going to be. And the other kind of strategy that has been very visible and quite painful is how this new government replaces the leaders of cultural institutions or directors of cultural institutions at each and every instance when they feel that there is, you know, even a big importance to that institution. And, you know, in Hungary, these kind of appointments of directors have never been very far from party politics. But what is really painful now is that in several cases, these appointments are really not happening along any professional criteria. And this has been creating quite a problem.
And do you think that what the government is or the ministry is trying to do in terms of the culture sector and the contemporary art field, is it? Do you think it's fair to characterize it as a Kulturkampf or a culture wars that they're doing?
I don't know if it makes sense to make these parallels to other political or historical moments, but certainly, I mean, without really having an articulated or sophisticated cultural vision, their actions are pretty clear and predictable in the very sheer sense of putting their people, very bluntly put, into each and every position without any, you know, without sufficient professional experience and knowledge behind these people. I don't see this as a sustainable, you know, cultural politics in the long term. I don't know if I answered your question.
Absolutely. Yeah, but on the other hand, I mean, as long as they are on power, they can appoint their own people, or whoever they want, and maybe we can say that the tradition they are, this nationalistic tradition that they are operating with or they are in, it's not what the contemporary art field has been built on in Hungary after 89. And what can we do in this situation, really?
I mean, their understanding of culture is a 19th century understanding of culture. So, of course, the way the art world operates or cultural life operates is has nothing to do or not too much to do with that vision. What they risk is, what we risk is an isolation of Hungarian culture, at least on these registers, like in the registers of institutions. But, one thing people do is that they leave the country, that's for sure. This is one option, that they go abroad. Many people, both artists and art historians or curators or, you know, other cultural workers have international connections or network or experiences. So this is certainly one valid option chosen by many. But there are other options as well. I think one of the problems with the Hungarian art scene has been, and this is not a newly formed problem, is that the institutional structure is quite large. We have these two mega institutions and quite a complex institutional system otherwise too, like a government-run or local government-run institutions. And I think that caused... and also, of course, there has been a tradition of the state supporting the arts and taking care of the infrastructure. And I think this resulted in a relative kind of, how do you say that, not laziness, but you know, we could operate within this within these frames in a quite, you know, sufficient way, I would say. And therefore, there has been no serious or ongoing attempt to try and find other sources, for example, or to try and find other partnerships. And right now, everyone is, you know, and partly rightly, everyone's complaining that there is no private money in culture. And of course, this is a very difficult time to strengthen that kind of support as a Hungary is also going downward economically. But another option to do is certainly to try and find, you know, new possibilities in terms of spaces or in terms of support or in terms of frames or networks. Institutional critique is very important, and voicing your dissent against these really aggressive politics is essential and very important, but I think that parallel to that, one has to try and start and build a new framework for contemporary art in Hungary.
Yes, so would you say that those curators who don't leave the country and who stay here, do you think that the major curatorial work that is now important or within this watershed moment that we're in is just to really find new structures and new like a parallel universe, basically, in
one thing, because I don't think that in the short term these overall conditions would change in terms of like the state's attitude toward culture. I mean, even if Fidesz, the ruling party, wouldn't win the next time, culture would not be the first thing to, you know, change structurally. I don't see a chance for fundamental changes in the cultural system or the attitude toward culture in a short term. I think it is essential to look around and try and find new ways of working. At the same time, I also think it's very important to be aware of the political situation and to take political responsibility, meaning one has to be very careful, I think, now in Hungary with whom one works with or with whom one steps into contract with or what kind of financial support one accepts or not. I think these have been very, very sensitive issues lately. I personally had a contract with Ludwig Museum to curate an exhibition there. It would have opened in December. And I cancelled my contract when the new director was appointed. And the third thing is, of course, which relates to the previous one, is that I think we have to participate in policy research or policy making. You know, even if just in theory, and right now no one would you know, no one would use these materials. But I think it's really important to try and formulate certain basic points or an idea about how culture should work in this country. And curators should take part in that, because the experience that curators have is, of course, different from, you know, the experiences of a theater director or, you know, people in other fields. So I think this has not been very characteristic of how people, either artists or curators, have been working in Hungary until now. But I think it has a great importance that that we take this seriously, and we try and formulate what would be beneficial for the art scene in terms of the legal environment, in terms of the support system. But I think it's equally important to try and activate, you know, corporate funding or private funding to kind of invigorate the market too, or these kind of you know, public and private partnerships. These can be also very problematic. I'm not saying it's not, but if there won't be any private funds in culture in Hungary in the next couple of years, then the playing field will be extremely narrow.
Yeah, and in relation to that, I will have one last question, which will concern what you are currently working on, and how do you work as an independent curator now. But before we get to it, I just like to go back to what you said about canceling your contract at the Ludwig Museum, just to make it clear why you had to, why you made this decision to cancel the contract.
Just before answering this, of course, I didn't talk about one thing a curator can do. Curators can make exhibitions. I mean, that is the most obvious. And just the last weekend, I went to see the three exhibitions that were made by the students of the art theory department at the Academy of Fine Arts. This is a BA program, and the graduating students curated three exhibitions. And these were three shows without, you know, almost without any money. Two of them were organized in non-art spaces, one in a former cinema and the other one in a factory. And, you know, there was no institutional support. And I think that these three exhibitions have been extremely strong and very important. And they had such an energy in this moment when at least parts of the art scene are really discouraged, and you know, a lot of energy goes into critique and nagging. And these young people put together three really important exhibitions that are far beyond the level of like student shows. So, answering your question, the reasons for which I canceled the contract are manifold. One part is practical. There is no money in the institution. But if you look at the exhibitions that were realized last year in Ludwig, and you look at the budget half a year before the openings, you would have found the same situation. Because the financial situations at Ludwig have been really precarious in the past years. So being no money there would have not been a huge problem, but I have experiences with Ludwig because of, you know, having been worked there. And the only way the institution could have put together, you know, good shows or you know, fair shows in the past years was the staff, the professional staff. Right now, these people, especially the curatorial staff, is leaving the institution. So, without the director who organized this team and led this team, and without the team itself, there being no money, you know, became a huge problem. And of course, I would have had a hard time of supporting this director and her institution by mounting an exhibition there, and also, you know, bringing, it would have been an international exhibition, so most of the artists who would have participated have no full overview of the situation there, mm-hmm. so it would have not been fair to bring them into such situation. And last but not least, a freelance curator, you know, at the end of the day, always stands for that situation that he or she invites the artist into. And in the moment when this curator doesn't have trust in the institution anymore, then obviously one has to think whether or not to run the risk of, you know, bringing artists there.
I'm now a freelance curator, and besides this show that you mentioned, that you have the difficulties with, what are other projects that you're working on, or how do you see your role now as a freelance curator in Hungary, or what are your priorities?
It has been a very turbulent couple of months, and I've been doing different things. One thing is certain, that I'm not planning to leave. So I will probably stay for the next couple of years. And I would like to remain active in terms of finding these new, you know, platforms or networks. But it's very difficult to say right now what the actual form and method of this will be.
Today we are talking with Adele Eisenstein, who is a freelance curator based in Budapest. Adele is from New York and moved to Hungary in 1990. She worked in Budapest in the 1990s with the Soros Center for Contemporary Art and was also a founding member of C3, Center for Culture and Communication, that grew out of the Soros Center for Contemporary Art. She also worked in the 1990s with the experimental film and production studio Balázs Béla Studio, as well as the Museum of Fine Arts, and she also ran a few alternative spaces. Ever since, she has been organizing exhibitions and events. I should also mention that Adele is a board member of Amnesty International Hungary.
So my question to you, so as a curator and organizer of events, and also a person who has been living here for more than 20 years, what are the major changes in your work that you are now facing in Hungary, and also on a more general level, how do you assess the changes in these last couple of years within the curatorial field compared to the last 20 years?
Yeah, it's hard for me to separate the curatorial perspective from just a human level, really. I look at the changes since 2010, I would say, more as how it affects everybody's lives. I mean, so in a way, even if I work as a curator, I have to say I look at the curatorial aspects a bit secondary to just the changes in everybody's lives and how, I don't know, how people, I mean, I think all people have to find some kind of strategy how to adjust to living in Hungary right now, or as many people, more and more people, decide to leave Hungary, which I think is going to have really devastating effects, probably for generations to come, no matter what happens with the current government and what happens next year in the elections. So aside from the fact that this government has implemented, well, a new constitution and hundreds of new laws that will remain long after Orbán and everyone else is gone, you know, on a social level, economic level, and cultural level. I mean, I think culture goes along with the human level. the changes are going to last really for decades, I'm sure. On a curatorial level, I mean, mostly, and if I can, I know you'll ask me a bit more about the exhibition I'm working on right now. I would say this is my way of somehow dealing with the whole situation, is taking my opportunity as a curator to somehow spread the word and show the rest of the world what's really going on in Hungary. And I'm happy to say that wherever I go and whoever I talk to outside of Hungary seems to be really interested and really wants to know what's happening and how they can help. And if it's really as bad as it sounds, if it's even worse than it sounds from the international press that there is. Now that I just came back from New York the day before yesterday, in New York, of course, it's the same, that everyone is just asking me what's happening here. And what we can do. I would just say immediately that, you know, I decided, I was given an opportunity early this year. I was asked to curate a show in a place called Pavel House, which is like a kind of small Kunstverein at the edge of Austria on the border of Slovenia. And it's the exhibition will be a part of Steirischer Herbst, which is, I think, the biggest festival in Austria, annual festival, where I think tens of thousands of people are coming. So it's quite good exposure. And basically, I was given carte blanche to do what I want. And immediately I said, you know, if I can do whatever I want, I think we have to show what's really happening in Hungary. There's already a number of artists who've become more and more politically involved and somehow try with their artwork to express politically what's happening and try to look for some way to change the way things are happening. And I want to give them a space to show what they're doing, to show what we're all doing, to try to fight against what this government is doing in terms of censorship, whether it's direct or indirect, financial questions about who gets state support, you know, who gets the opportunity to show anywhere when it comes to things like the Venice Biennale. Who are the people making the decisions? Who are the people who are put into the highest positions in culture, which is done on a basis not as it has been to some extent or other over the past 20 years democratically? So basically I took the opportunity I was given to again highlight what's going on. I mean, that's the way I can see on a curatorial level that I can do something. And also I've been given a lot of opportunities to write about what's going on. And I take every single one of those opportunities to to just list every change and every danger. And otherwise, yeah, on a human level, I mean, my work with Amnesty International, I feel like it's more and more important for everyone to try to do what little bit they can to not ignore or, you know, say, okay, yes, the situation is there, but I don't want to deal with it. I mean, I want to deal with it. That's the first general thing I would say. So basically on every level of life, I try to do what I can.
Like what you said before, it's just like the word culture diplomat came to my mind, that it is also maybe it's not the best word, but I mean, it's and also a kind of work that the curator needs to do now. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's true. That's true. And I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind when you say that is, there are the Hungarian cultural institutes that are in various strategic places, mostly in Europe, of course, but there is one in New York. Just in a few places of the world, not all over the world. And to see, you know, the way those have been changing as well. I mean, I've watched very clearly what has happened to the Hungarian Cultural Center in New York. And in fact, I happened to be there, I guess, 2 years ago or a year, about 2 years ago when the new director of that institute was named and introduced. And, if you look at what the institution looked like previously and what it looks like right now, that kind of says everything about what's changed. It's, previously there was a kind of gallery space in Soho that really was kind of trying to integrate Hungarian art and culture with the whole cultural scene in New York, which is no easy feat, and it was relatively successful, I would say. And it was very progressive, really had a fantastic program. And right now, it's about folk music and folk dancing and, I don't know, really traditional painters and even the place of the events. I haven't actually seen the new center, or I don't even know if it's just an office, but I've been a few times in the Hungarian consulate in New York where they've had programs. And it's, you can't compare. So, you know, that's the official Hungarian international cultural diplomacy. And it's radically changed. But yeah, I think independent curators or curators who are working internationally, we do have a kind of responsibility to show really what kind of values there are among artists who are not a part of this so-called national culture. Yeah, I mean, I think we have a responsibility to show what's really out there and not to allow people to believe that this, you know, that kind of artwork is representing Hungary.
Yes, and also I think a cultural diplomat in terms of curating, I think also could work on a more metaphorical level. What you said at the very beginning, that, I mean, in all of your projects or what you are trying to do is just to get vocal about what's going on here.
Yeah. And I do worry a little bit. I mean, because I decided with the show that I do in Austria to really concentrate on the political situation right now. I mean, cultural politics. And I kind of worry, you know, I want to make sure that I have good artworks at the same time. So I, you know, I mean, I'm in, I'm, my whole life I've been involved in demonstrations, both in the US and in Hungary, or wherever I happen to be at the moment. But, you know, I do try to keep in mind that I'm organizing an exhibition, which is part of a festival, which is a cultural festival, and so at the same time that I think the message is incredibly important, and it's incredibly important for people everywhere to know what's going on here, because I think, you know, it's the same reason that I'm involved with Amnesty International, that everyone might think that they're only one person out of billions of people in the world. But still, everyone has the power that they take, and if people come together and bring that individual power together with others, there is a way to make changes, and I've definitely seen that through Amnesty International. But even on a cultural level, I think that we can have an impact. And yeah, so I think it's, you know, on the one hand, it's important to keep the message clear. But on the other hand, I'm organizing an art exhibition and I want to have good artworks. So there will, it seems like there will be at least one or two kind of actions going on, at least at the opening of the exhibition. But the exhibition is open for 2 months, and I want to have good artworks that people are going to come and see and appreciate the quality of the art and the artists.
Yeah.
And some of those are existing works that have been realized over the last couple of years, and some of them will be new works.
Yeah, and my very last question would be, if I may ask, are you planning to stay in Hungary?
I had been planning to leave Hungary for a long time. I've been planning to move on, to move further east, since the early 2000s or the mid 2000s. I was hoping to leave before 2010 because I knew that good things were not going to come after the election in 2010. But since I ended up not leaving because of various projects I was involved in, and I've stayed this long, and I've somehow continued to fight as much as I can, either through Amnesty or through whatever cultural battles are going on. I kind of want to stay and see it through. I don't want to give up. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure what's going to happen with me next year. I know that I'm going to vote next year. Next year, it's going to be the first time I can vote in Hungary.
Wow.
So I will. because I'm now a dual citizen. But I'm not sure, for personal reasons, what's going to happen with me after that, because the reason I was in New York right now is because my parents are very, very old, and my mother has had health problems since last year, and I see that they probably need me more and more, so I am thinking about possibly going back next year at some point. But that's not because of this government at all. I would, if anything, because of this government, I want to stay and fight. and even if I go back to New York, I'm sure that I'll still be involved and still come back to Hungary. And, you know, it won't be the end of my involvement, that's for sure.
Here we are today with Márton Pacsika, who is an emerging curator in Hungary, and he was among the first class of students who enrolled in the Fine Art Theory program, which is a curatorial studies program at the University of Fine Arts in 2009. He also was the co-founder and a curator of an independent art space and gallery space called Demo between 2010 and 2012. And he's also now a board member of the Studio of Young Artists Association. I have a perception, and I might be wrong, and if I'm wrong, please correct me, but I tend to see that you and also other students frequently initiate independent spaces and projects rather than trying to infiltrate into the art institutional framework in Hungary. And if it's so, is there a specific reason for that?
Yeah, it's definitely true, but I'm unsure why is this exactly. Because it's not always a matter of choice, especially not in this case, but the necessity, especially since 2010. When we started our studies in the university in Hungary, we had a small, weak, but existing institutional system. Now this landscape is totally different. This institutional framework, what you mentioned, simply fell to pieces. And this new order, what they created, I mean the government, so it goes without saying that none of us want to be part of it. So maybe our task is more complicated, I mean our generation's task, than others' generation's job, because this is a rapidly changing institutional system. And but the good news, which is a symptom, of course, of this crisis, that we have the opportunity as young creators and artists to shape or form this transformation.
You are one of the initiators of a new project. It's called Contemporary Art in Front of Mühlcharnok Kunsthalle. And could you please describe it, what it is, why did you start it, and what are your objectives with the project?
Let me explain, first of all, the title itself, Kivio Tiger, which is a workplace. Originally, it's a modification of a well-known Hungarian expression, which means literally outside is more spacious. And we modified this expression to outside is spacious. I explain this not necessarily because it's so exciting or interesting, but because I think this title is also tells something about how deliberating could be this situation as well. And I explain it later. It came up as an idea maybe in last year's November, in a very boring, fruitless, and frankly kind of awkward activist meeting by József May, who's probably one of the best art critics in Hungary. And he was my professor actually in the university as well. And the other organizer of this project is Esther Kozma. We worked together. She was my classmate in the university, and we worked together in the demo and now in the studio as well. So we discussed in this meeting the new law, which gave the Kunsthalle, or the building of the Kunsthalle, it was not clear back then, to the Hungarian Art Academy. Surely everybody was outraged by this decision, so that was the big issue of the autumn and the winter as well, maybe.
And just to make it clear for everyone, what was the reasoning behind, like, why the Academy should get the Kunsthalle? Well, not the reasoning, or what did we know, or what do we know why?
Yes, maybe it's a better question, because I really don't know. Maybe they said, the president of the Hungarian Art Academy said that he was outraged by an exhibition which dealt with the identity or the nationalism in the Kunsthalle. Actually, this is funny because the director of the Kunsthalle, who is a conservative, creator, of, he was a speech writer of a politician in the government, so I don't know who he is, really. But so I see it as a conflict between the center-right and the right wing of the government. So I think this is my answer to your question. Interestingly, Kivu Tigers is not simply an activist project. I see it more as an art project. We ask week by week an artist to do something in front of the Kunsthalle. It's important to do it permanently and week by week. And we ask only artists. We did an exception once with Bonabás Bencsik, who was the director of the Ludwig Museum, and we thought that this is, at that time, this is truly important to make a statement. So this project actually started in this year, January, and we and it will last to the end of the year.
What happens actually? So when you have so you say every week you have something going on, and is it for one day or is it an action or what is it actually that when you have this thing going on, what happens?
It's always different, but it's an action, always an action. We ask a photographer as well to take a photo and document this action. And you could check, and please check the website of this project, www.kivutagos.hu, and I think it's a beautiful website. You could check every project since January.
And what is your what is your statement with the project?
I think it's kind of fluid, and my personal statement is that I think it's important to give an opportunity to the artists in Hungary to make a statement week by week, because surely we have activist projects like what happened in the Ludwig Museum last month, or the free artists and etc. But I think it's important to give an opportunity to simple artists who not specifically involved in any kind of political activism or something like that, but they think it's important to make a statement.
Okay.
Just once, against, not necessarily against the government, but but against the Hungarian Art Academy.
And another question I have, it's rather hypothetical in that sense that we are now in a watershed moment, meaning that we are still unsure how exactly the current cultural policy will play out and how it will exactly affect curatorial work, although we already feel it and we all have some ideas about it. But within this changing landscape, what do you think the priorities of a curator are now in Hungary, or what are your priorities?
Let me start in 2010, because in 2010 when I started a small non-profit social language gallery with Esther Kozma and Matyas Csiszári in Budapest, our goal was deal with...
I'm sorry, and they were your
co-founders.
Classmates. What? They were your classmates.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure. They were my classmates in the university. So, yes, and the name of the gallery was Demo. So, this gallery mission or our goal was to deal with social and cultural issues critically. So we thought that our goal is to do what the other government-run institutions couldn't do, to criticize our economical and political system. But now I think the situation is quite different, because we and maybe everyone in the opposition just realized that how useless is just simply criticizing the system or the government. I think this is the time maybe to build something new in terms of institutions, communities, or even aesthetics. So look, a lot depends on the outcome of the next year's election. I think our goals will be totally different after the consolidation of this regime, and I'm very hopeful that it will never happen. It won't happen. Because if they will keep their power after 2014, I think we should build a parallel institutional system without the help or money of the government. By the way, I think we should stay away from the government anyway, especially in this mm-hmm. situation, but this is only my personal opinion. So in a way, this political and cultural situation has a few benefits as well. For example, I think it's great that these changes revealed many problems and obstacles that were quite invisible, but
very harmful in the last two decades in the cultural administration, especially in the cultural administration.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a chance to learn about these issues. And I think it's a real opportunity to make a difference right now, to discuss many issues, taboo issues as well, like funding of the cultural system. This crisis created wonderful communities and situations in protest and this activist discussions. So in a weird way, I'm quite grateful to the government. Besides joke, I think it goes without saying that what happened with the Ludwig Museum or the Kunsthalle or with the county museums in the countryside, but especially with the Ludwig Museum, is more than a mistake of the government, but it's a sin. I just can't overstate how great was the Ludwig Museum in the last 3 years, and frankly, I have no idea how can we or anybody fix this recent destruction.
Which was?
I mean, which was to change the director of the Ludwig Museum, and not just the director, but what his team or what Benchik created or organized the team in the Ludwig Museum.
Mm-hmm. And so going back to what you said about how the crisis and how the current government. So policy actually revealed the inherent problems in the art institutional network, and it's now a very good time to actually discuss these problems and to touch upon taboos that we haven't been able to do so far. So would you say that in terms of very particularities and in terms of a curator, that what it needs to be done now, or what the curator has to do now, it's also like a new, not new, but like a strategic thinking in terms of doing things. So it's not just doing what, you know, like a more thorough oversight or overview of what actually can be done. Or am I just giving words to you into your mouth?
just powerful. Look, now, I mean, it's quite clear that nobody has any kind of money or institutions or spaces to make actual exhibitions or projects. Like, I mean, the possibilities are quite different than just a few years ago. So I think we don't have any other chances than discuss and create cultural policies and organize our communities and you know, I think we can learn a lot from the 80s of Hungary or the 70s because in terms of aesthetics or exhibitions or art, so many wonderful and great things happened in these two decades.
My very last question is, are you planning to stay in Hungary?
In a long term, sure. Maybe for a couple years to learn. I surely could imagine to learn abroad, but right now my plan is to live in Budapest and in Hungary. And actually I have two reasons for that. The first, and this is the emotional one, is, look, I never thought about myself as a huge patriot, really, but I think the last 3 years fundamentally changed something in my mind in terms of feelings toward my country or this city. I experienced and so many inspirational things. I mean, in protests and in these quite boring activist discussions and actually in my everyday life. So now, in a way, I'm much more optimistic than I was just a few years ago. The other, a little bit more practical reason is, so I think we all do these things, I mean, as creator or artist, to make a difference in the society, in other people's life, or, and I'm quite sure that this country needs more our help or our work, or let's say, in a quite emotional way, our determination to change something than France, Germany, US, or other, any other beautiful and exciting country in the world. I think country in the world.